the old souls. There aren't any new ones. They're varying and sundry ages of experiencing bodies, but you're all old souls to come back to guide this. And they would try to prevent your input. You see, what they may consciously know may not be any more than you consciously know. But they fear you. And you try to get rid of that which you fear. Mm-hmm. And ones will come and ones will drop away. It doesn't matter. It will get done. It only matters to the individual experiencing soul being. You don't want to fail self again. You've had other opportunities. You've had opportunities on this planet where we've served before together. And some of those earlier civilizations are now producing the artifacts that give you historical knowledge that you were there. And in many ways, each experience, each play, each act in the play is what culminates the whole of the story.
And Marina and Jean are leaving.
Commander?
Yes.
It is a possibility too that they come to you and they try to obstruct you from doing this, and so then you are not involved, or you try to pull away the person that it is that already know their purpose and you are very close to them.
I believe what you're saying is that ones will come and try to pull you away from the purpose.
Yeah.
It's heavy up here.
Oh, yes.
I feel it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And I thought I was.
They attack your family. They attack the very ones you love with the most ridiculous bits of nonsense to pull you away.
Yeah, but then we can feel your presence, too, when you help us to get away from them.
Of course. All you have to do is turn and release. You see, when you no longer play into their hands, there's nothing left for them to do.
Because I felt it. And I tell to you your presence.
I thank you for receiving that.
And what's the question, either you or Mr. Coleman, is what would be the purpose? I know someone was a student working on this, I think it's a doctor at the university, one of the University of California State University. It was anthropology in his major. The department was just instrumental in giving the student a grant to study demonology, but the findings are not to be made public, but they've been given to the student.
Isn't that interesting?
What would be the purpose
of it?
Well, let me give you a little bit of story. I guess if the teacher can speak in parables, so can I. You have one called Whitley Strieber. Some of you call it Strieber. A writer, one who shared his experiences with you regarding what he called communion, transformation, etc. All he did was write experiences, and then when he got to Majestic 12 or whatever, he chose to write it in the form of a novel. He claimed each to be a novel because he could only write of his experiences. And time goes on, and this man is taken, and he is badgered, and he is picked at, and he keeps saying, I don't know what it was. But it was very real to me. And so the ufologists get him onto every kooky program. Some try to talk him out of it. Some try to make him say it was something else. Some try to say it was spiritual. Some try to say it was demons. So what was it? What was it? Little grays that come and go through the wall and cart you out in the middle of the night, and you can prove to yourself the next day that you were gone? Is this reality, or is this so vivid that the mind has conjured it? Either way, it exists. Perhaps in more reality than anything else. But he continued to try to analyze this, try to fit in with it, try to balance it against what was being thrust at him, to the point that he almost missed it, his whole experience. He's a gifted writer. And now you have lost him because you destroyed that very thing that he was to write about. He's not been visited in over a year. So he's written another book. And everybody waits to see what the little guys are doing this time. And he's writing about the Catholic Church and how it ought to modernize. It's a novel. But one's calling in to speak to him, all they want to know is about his past and this experience. And so finally, he's asked, well, if you're writing about the Catholic Church and you are Catholic and you believe in the sacraments, but you don't believe in all of this other stuff, what are you talking about? Do you also believe in demons? And he pauses a minute and he said, I don't know. I guess I do. He said, I can only say from my own experience that I know you can be possessed by these forms, these beings, this isness that I can't explain. But it was sublime what I had. And I long for it. And I wake up every night at 3 a.m. because that's when they would come. And I could expect for a little bit to have a sublime experience of connection with something of pure and total love. Those are not demons. Demons are the negative aspect of that. And whether you create them or do not, it matters not. They exist. And if you give them form, and I can guarantee you that if you are doing a study for the CIA, you will give them form, they will be called aliens, and you are on your way.
Commander. If he gets into this, are there going to be energy forms attached to him?
If he allows it, of course.
Okay, anyone coming in contact with him that has to be very careful.
Well, just keep up your... If you are in knowledge, it cannot touch you. Do you see? You don't have to make a big thing of it. In the beginning, you must wrap yourself in the shield every 10 seconds if it's required, every second, a zillion times a day, constantly, reminding, consciously. But once you are into knowing, you automatically do it. It isn't even longer consciousness. You have to work at becoming responsible enough to consciously attend it. But you hear the lies that accompany the speeches anymore. Once into knowing, you cannot go back into unknowing. There is no way without destruction of the mind. You cannot just choose to say, I am going to go back to not knowing. I liked it better. Dharma does it all the time. I get off right here. I don't want to know. How are you going to unknow? I'll figure a way. No, you won't. You can deny and you can decline and you can stop. Those are your only choices. Going back into ignorance is not one of your choices anymore. And this is why ones do not want to come under your spell. They don't want to believe what you believe. Because they know innately it will counter everything they're told. And to come into that requires responsibility and acceptance of responsibility. Because if you don't act on what you know, you are restless as hell. Yeah. You are searching, you are seeking. And I welcome ones, if you don't mind wasting the time, go experience. I'm not going to tell you ever not to read a book. Read it. It's the best-selling job I can do. It is the best way to get truth, is just to expose yourself to this truth, which is the truth, and go read it all. Everything on the planet you can find. Go to the church. Listen to what they say. Wait for them to pass the plate. Let you buy a little bit of Christianity or whatever. Let me tell you something about Tyson. This is something very personal, very human. The promoter is called Don King, and most of you recognize this man. He is the epitome of a promoter, but he's an honest promoter. He doesn't even take away from the ones he promotes. He gives them their full salary, and he only makes his money, and he makes a whole heap of it by filling up the audience and promoting the event. And you know what he said? He said it just wasn't fair, because Tyson had even given hundreds of thousands of dollars to Benai Barreth. And he shouldn't have been treated like this. Go listen. Listen to your politicians. Hold in your hand a golden coin. And you tell me what it will buy. Because it will not buy peace in your soul. And if nobody is in the market for gold, it ain't worth anything. It just weighs down your hand. But until you let go of it, you can't do another damn thing with that hand. So hold it in your heart. Rejoice in coming into knowingness. Because against the truth, you can measure everything. You don't have to ponder greatly about whether this man is telling truth or they are projecting morality or immorality. You have your guidelines. If it's against God's laws, it's wrong. I don't care how many people voted on it. What you think about it is between you and God, and what you do about it is between you and God. It is none of anybody else's business. But when you listen to them in a church house, for instance, listen to what they say. And if they say things that are against the law of God, and they pronounce that it is right, and you must appreciate it, allow it, and condone it, you've fallen into their trap. And that's where ignorance will destroy you. Ignorance is not bliss, it is destruction. And you cannot come into knowing and stumble back into ignorance. It's too late for you. You can refuse. and that brings forth a different kind of penalty. Refusal of truth bears a great penalty. That one creates karma. And you will experience again and again until you correct that one. Any other urgent questions? Or may we leave this to digest?
Al had one.
I just wanted to, you keep bringing up something about bankers and so forth. An interesting...
Loud noise, Al.
What's his name? Bob Dorn, who's, quote, he's a representative from Southern California. He was caught with one bad check, he said, in this investigation. It's interesting because he calls himself a born-again Christian. And I thought it was very amusing that he used as his excuse, he used the money to build a shrine for the Virgin Mary in his backyard.
How many are going to try to buy your way aboard? Well, I'll tell you something. Don't get hung up. I do not condone the action. But any time they want to bring the money to you, you take it. Do you hear me? Let's just hope a lot would like to buy their way. Because if they do, we may have some underground shelters, we may have some food substance, and maybe even they'll come into enlightenment. Let's give them a chance. I like to use the adversary's goods. Why do you deprive God of all of the good and all of the potential? But you see what absolute discernment you have gained. The masses listen to that and think, well, he really did mean well, so I'll go vote for him.
I have a question.
Please.
I'm from the Philippines, and I want some ideas about what happened to the last major calamities. About a year ago, this volcano eruption, earthquake, all those major calamities were so serious. The reason I'm asking this is because I'd like to be a part of a project which will more or less disseminate this information to the Filipinos, being one of them. And I'm looking for some starting point, how I can teach their imagination or just thinking these things. Please dwell more on the Philippines for some...
I can talk specifically about the Philippines for a little while.
Okay.
And let's see if we hit anything that's of value to you. Number one, there was nothing accidental about these upheavals in the Philippines. It took quite some doing for them to get that kind of volcanic activity. The Committee of 300, has it ever struck anybody as rather strange that this little group of islands called the Philippines would be the center of so much world attention all the time? Does that ever strike anybody as a little bit ridiculous?
I agree.
No, it's not a diversion. It's a very strategic place. The place is riddled with a commodity of gold and all sorts of reasons for being there. Not the least of which is some is naturally placed there against this time so that man can evolve. The Philippines basically are part of the risen old continent of Lemuria. And there were things placed there to be unearthed at a given time when it is time to rebuild after many eons of time. That's one. But there is a zillion tons of gold stashed there, actually in the control of, or was in the control of, basically the Marcos family. This was gold, let's call it Japanese gold, that ended up there.
You remember saying that?
Now you have a situation where a lot of investment trying to get their hands on this gold, a lot of agreements have been made, and this is why you know before it's over, gold will go to $373 an ounce. From wherever it is, because that is the rate set against some 50,000 tons of it and a London bank. That's why some of you sitting and waiting for the transference of a lot of that gold may have to sit for a little while, because they have depressed the price. And they're going to fly it out of there on the Flying Tigers Airlines, which you might as well say the CIA is hauling it out of there for British intelligence to ship to the London Bank, or actually the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, where all your Fort Knox gold resides. Some ones are taking that gold that have control of it, bringing it out in its bullion form, melting it down, putting it into jewelers' bars, and shipping it out that way. There is incredible stuff going on. Now comes Imelda Marcos. They killed him. I'm not going to talk about good, bad, or in between of personalities running a government. Usually you're going to have quite a lot of selfishness, if nothing else, in ones with that much in asset. But the fact is, most of what they spent was not Philippine money from Joe Filipino. It was this gold money. They're wealthy. And this is what bugged the Committee of 300. Not that they might be bad to their people. They wanted that money. And they will stop at nothing. And so you have the political factions coming into play in the Philippines. And you've got a couple of bases, Subic Bay. It looked like it might be able to survive that volcano. But the point of it is, we've got to show destruction and power. And it's never lost on the ones in the know. It's only lost on the poor people who feel their world coming down. The messages are gotten at the higher levels. I would suggest to you that they let Imelda Marcos go home, not for whatever reason they're touting, including Imelda. They want those bases back. And that was the bargain. You see, you can't even trust your own deceivers, your own fellow CIA man. So the Philippines are up for grabs and up for forfeit. And they're a little terrified that they may overdo it and blow the Philippines away. And where will all that gold go? Because I can promise you it will be like old Atlantis. They blow it up. And it's going to be an 8-mile deep crater, and they're not going to be able to find that gold. just like Atlantis. Just move a little way off Crete and you're going to find an 8 mile deep hole. Politically, John can explain that better to you than me. I'm interested in the spiritual aspect of that area and the spiritual security of the Philippine people, because you come as Philippines down through the ancients, through the aboriginal tribes of the bird people. And yes, you're special. And yes, they want to get rid of you. And politically, they will stop at nothing. But you see, if they overdo it, they don't gain either. That's why if you are careful and you do it properly, you can have the both the best. John, would you go into an explanation a little bit more about
it? I can give you a little bit more about it, namely that the whole thing in the Philippines was organized again by the Committee of 300. They used an insurance broker by the name of Hank Greenberg. Now that's not a name that you're going to be familiar with. If you are, then you're extremely well informed. But few people ever heard of his name. But Hank Greenberg was the organizer of the so-called People's Revolution against Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. And what Hank Greenberg was after was the Philippine gold, which Hatton has just told us about. In exchange for his services, David Rockefeller told Hank Greenberg, look, I've got the insurance business in China tied up. You get rid of the Marcoses and you can have half the insurance business in China. But here's the interesting part. This is most important. Greenberg worked for the Tel Aviv, Frankfurt, Brooklyn Mafia. In the United States, the leader of the Mafia, Brooklyn Mafia, is Representative Stephen Solos.
Anybody want to choke?
Where did we find Solos? In the midst, in the very midst of the so-called People's Revolution against Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. So you have Hank Greenberg working for Rockefeller. You have Stephen Solos working for the Brooklyn, Frankfurt, Tel Aviv Mafia, which is an old Meyer Lansky network. If you know anything about the old days of the gangsters, Meyer Lansky was an extremely talented financier. They got hold of this information that the gold is there, and they moved heaven and earth and hell to get their hands on it. But up to that point, they weren't able to break the Marcoses, and eventually they did overthrow them. But the whole story behind the overthrow of the Marcoses hinges on the gold and who was after it. And I've now told you who the people with the dramatis persona were, the people in the play. And that hasn't changed. The same people are still there today trying to work the oracle to find out where this gold is.
Well, they tried to, and I would like you to comment on this, because I'm sure that you will know about it. It was at this period of time and just before this that in efforts to get their hands on it, this is when Japan became a major trilateral player in the game. So you've got real, real intrigue. And a lot of gold. I'm talking thousands of tons of it.
Yes, it's worth we can't even begin to imagine the value of it. It's a just unbelievably huge amount of gold.
A lot of laundering, drug laundering. You see, they can tell you whatever they want about we've got to do this and that in order to stop the counterfeiters. They have had counterfeiting plates ever since Hitler took them to the Antarctic, and Japan can just roll off zillions of dollars That's not the point. The drug dealers stopped accepting currency. They wanted to be paid in gold.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that sits in the Philippines.
That's why I said earlier, if you want to know the price of gold, you must find out the price of raw opium, pure raw opium.
Listen, those are still controlled, the custody of this gold?
Some of it, yes.
Where's the bulk of it?
The bulk of it?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Are they still in the Philippines? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Is he in control of it still?
The Marcus family controlled only a portion of it.
This is truly so tedious. This is not really proper to discuss it in here.
I could tell you a lot more, but I don't think it would be
wise. It's not wise for anyone to discuss this much farther.
Can I have one more question? About the remittance in the Philippines, do they have a role? In the discovery of oil and other resources like gold, silver, gold, diamonds, plutonium in the Philippines for them to be explored or exploited or utilized?
There's still plenty there. Plenty. But what is happening is you find that the Chinese...
The old souls. There aren't any new ones. They are varying and sundry ages of experiencing bodies, but you're all old souls to come back to guide this. And they would try to prevent your input. You see, what they may consciously know may not be any more than you consciously know. But they fear you. And you try to get rid of that which you fear. And ones will come, and ones will drop away. It doesn't matter. It will get done. It only matters to the individual experiencing soul being. You don't want to fail self again. You've had other opportunities. You've had opportunities on this planet where we've served before together. And some of those earlier civilizations are now producing the artifacts that give you historical knowledge that you were there. And in many ways, each experience, each play, each act in the play is what culminates the whole of the story.
Marina and Jean are leaving.
Commander?
Yes.
It is a possibility too that they come to you and they try to obstruct you from doing this, and so then you are not involved, or you try to pull away the person that it is that already know their purpose and you are very close to them.
I believe what you're saying is that ones will come and try to pull you away from the purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's heavy up here.
Oh, yes.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They attack your family. They attack the very ones you love with the most ridiculous bits of nonsense to pull you away.
Yeah, but then we can feel your presence too when you help us to get away from them.
Of course. All you have to do is turn and release. You see, when you no longer play into their hands, there's nothing left for them to do.
Because I felt it. And I felt to you your presence.
I thank you for receiving that.
And what's the question? Either you or Mr. Fonfanes, what would be the purpose? I know someone, I was a student working on this, I think it's a doctor at the university, one of the University of California State University. It was anthropology in his major, and the head of the department was just instrumental in giving the student a grant to study demonology, but the findings are not to be made public, but they've been given to the student.
Isn't that interesting?
What would be the purpose?
Well, let me give you a little bit of story. I guess if the teacher can speak in parables, so can I. You have one called Whitley Strieber. Some of you call it Strieber. A writer, one who shared his experiences with you regarding what he called communion, transformation, etc. All he did was write experiences, and then when he got to Majestic 12 or whatever, he chose to write it in the form of a novel. He claimed each to be a novel because he could only write of his experiences. And time goes on, and this man is taken, and he is badgered, and he is picked at, and he keeps saying, I don't know what it was, but it was very real to me. And so the ufologists get him onto every kooky program. Some try to talk him out of it. Some try to make him say it was something else. Some tried to say it was spiritual, some tried to say it was demons. So what was it? What was it? Little grays that come and go through the wall and cart you out in the middle of the night, and you can prove to yourself the next day that you were gone? Is this reality, or is this so vivid that the mind has conjured it? Either way, it exists. Perhaps in more reality than anything else. But he continued to try to analyze this, try to fit in with it, try to balance it against what was being thrust at him, to the point that he almost missed it, his whole experience. He's a gifted writer. And now you have lost him because you destroyed that very thing that he was to write about. He's not been visited in over a year. So he's written another book. And everybody waits to see what the little guys are doing this time. And he's writing about the Catholic Church and how it ought to modernize. It's a novel. But one's calling in to speak to him, all they want to know is about his past and this experience. And so finally, he's asked, well, if you're writing about the Catholic Church and you are Catholic and you believe in the sacraments, but you don't believe in all of this other stuff, what are you talking about? Do you also believe in demons? And he pauses a minute and he said, I don't know. I guess I do. He said, I can only say from my own experience that I know you can be possessed by these forms, these beings, this isness that I can't explain. But it was sublime what I had. And I long for it. And I wake up every night at 3 a.m. because that's when they would come. And I could expect for a little bit to have a sublime experience of connection with something of pure and total love. Those are not demons. Demons are the negative aspect of that. And whether you create them or do not, it matters not. They exist. And if you give them form, and I can guarantee you that if you are doing a study for the CIA, you will give them form. They will be called aliens, and you are on your way.
Commander, if he gets into this, are there going to be energy forms attached to him?
If he allows it, of course.
Okay, anyone coming in contact with him that has to be very careful.
Definitely. Well, just keep up your... if you are in knowledge, it cannot touch you. Do you see? You don't have to make a big thing of it. In the beginning, you must wrap yourself in the shield every 10 seconds if it's required. Every second. A zillion times a day. Constantly. Reminding. Consciously. But once you are into knowing, you automatically do it. It isn't even longer consciousness. You have to work at becoming responsible enough to consciously attend it. But you hear the lies that accompany the speeches anymore. Once into knowing, you cannot go back into unknowing. There is no way without destruction of the mind. You cannot just choose to say, I am going to go back to not knowing. I liked it better. Dharma does it all the time. I get off right here. I don't want to know. How are you going to unknow? I'll figure a way. No, you won't. You can deny and you can decline and you can stop. Those are your only choices. Going back into ignorance is not one of your choices anymore. And this is why ones do not want to come under your spell. They don't want to believe what you believe. Because they know innately it will counter everything they're told. And to come into that requires responsibility and acceptance of responsibility. Because if you don't act on what you know, you are restless as hell. Yeah. You are searching, you are seeking. And I welcome ones, if you don't mind wasting the time, go experience. I'm not going to tell you ever not to read a book. Read it. It's the best-selling job I can do. It is the best way to get truth, is just to expose yourself to this truth, which is the truth, and go read it all. Everything on the planet you can find. Go to the church. Listen to what they say. Wait for them to pass the plate. Let you buy a little bit of Christianity or whatever. Let me tell you something about Tyson. This is something very personal, very human. The promoter is called Don King, and most of you recognize this man. He is the epitome of a promoter. But he's an honest promoter. He doesn't even take away from the ones he promotes. He gives them their full salary and he only makes his money, and he makes a whole heap of it by filling up the audience and promoting the event. And you know what he said? He said it just wasn't fair, because Tyson had even given hundreds of thousands of dollars to Benai Barrett. And he shouldn't have been treated like this. Go listen. Listen to your politicians. Hold in your hand a golden coin. And you tell me what it will buy. Because it will not buy peace in your soul. And if nobody is in the market for gold, it ain't worth anything. It just weighs down your hand. But until you let go of it, you can't do another damn thing with that hand. So hold it in your heart. Rejoice in coming into knowingness. Because against the truth, you can measure everything. You don't have to ponder greatly about whether this man is telling truth or they are projecting morality or immorality. You have your guidelines. If it's against God's laws, it's wrong. I don't care how many people voted on it. What you think about it is between you and God, and what you do about it is between you and God. It is none of anybody else's business. But when you listen to them in a church house, for instance, listen to what they say. And if they say things that are against the law of God and they pronounce that it is right and you must appreciate it, allow it, and condone it, you've fallen into their trap. And that's where ignorance will destroy you. Ignorance is not bliss, it is destruction. And you cannot come into knowing and stumble back into ignorance. It's too late for you. You can refuse. And that brings forth a different kind of penalty. Refusal of truth bears a great penalty. That one creates karma. And you will experience again and again until you correct that one. Any other urgent questions? Or may we leave this to digest?
Al had one.
I just wanted to, you keep bringing up something about bankers and so forth. An interesting...
Loud and please, Al.
What's his name? Bob Dorn. Who's, quote, he's a representative from Southern California. He was caught with one bad check, he said, in this investigation. It's interesting because he calls himself a born-again Christian. And I thought it was very amusing that he used as his excuse, he used the money to build a shrine with the Virgin Mary in his backyard.
How many are going to try to buy your way aboard? Well, I'll tell you something. Don't get hung up. I do not condone the action. But any time they want to bring the money to you, you take it. Do you hear me? Let's just hope a lot would like to buy their way. Because if they do, we may have some underground shelters, we may have some food substance, and maybe even they'll come into enlightenment. Let's give them a chance. I like to use the adversary's goods. Why do you deprive God of all of the good and all of the potential? But you see what absolute discernment you have gained. The masses listen to that and think, well, he really did mean well, so I'll go vote for him.
I have a question.
Please.
I'm from the Philippines, and I want some ideas about what happened to the last major calamities. About a year ago, this volcano eruption, earthquake, all those major calamities were so serious. The reason I'm asking this is because I'd like to be a part of a project which will more or less disseminate this information to the Filipinos
being one of them. And I'm looking for some starting point, how I can teach their imagination or just thinking these things. Can you dwell more on the Philippines for some?
I can talk specifically about the Philippines for a little while.
Okay.
And let's see if we hit anything that's of value to you. Number one, there was nothing accidental about these upheavals in the Philippines. It took quite some doing for them to get that kind of volcanic activity. The Committee of 300, has it ever struck anybody as rather strange that this little group of islands called the Philippines would be the center of so much world attention all the time? Does that ever strike anybody as a little bit ridiculous?
Diversion. Right.
No, it's not a diversion. It's a very strategic place. The place is riddled with a commodity of gold and all sorts of reasons for being there, not the least of which is some is naturally placed there against this time so that man can evolve. The Philippines basically are part of the risen old continent of Lemuria, and there were things placed there to be unearthed at a given time when it is time to rebuild after many eons of time. That's one. But there is a zillion tons of gold stashed there, actually in the control of, or was in the control of, basically the Marcos family. This was gold, let's call it Japanese gold, that ended up there.
You remember saying that?
Now you have a situation where a lot of investment trying to get their hands on this gold, a lot of agreements have been made, and this is why you know before it's over, gold will go to $373 an ounce from wherever it is, because that is the rate set against some 50,000 tons of it and a London bank. That's why some of you sitting and waiting for the transference of a lot of that gold may have to sit for a little while, because they have depressed the price. And they're going to fly it out of there on the Flying Tigers Airlines, which you might as well say the CIA is hauling it out of there for British intelligence to ship to the London Bank, or actually the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, where all your Fort Knox gold resides. Some ones are taking that gold that have control of it, bringing it out in its bullion form, melting it down, putting it into jewelers' bars, and shipping it out that way. There is incredible stuff going on. Now comes Imelda Marcos. They killed him. I'm not going to talk about good, bad, or in between of personalities running a government. Usually you're going to have quite a lot of selfishness, if nothing else, in ones with that much in asset. But the fact is, most of what they spent was not Philippine money from Joe Filipino. It was this gold money. They're wealthy. And this is what bugged the Committee of 300. Not that they might be bad to their people. They wanted that money, and they will stop at nothing. And so you have the political factions coming into play in the Philippines. And you've got a couple of bases through Big Bay. It looked like it might be able to survive that volcano. But the point of it is, we've got to show destruction and power. And it's never lost on the ones in the know. It's only lost on the poor people who feel their world coming down. The messages are gotten at the higher levels. I would suggest to you that they let Imelda Marcos go home, not for whatever reason they're touting, including Imelda. They want those bases back. And that was the bargain. You see, you can't even trust your own deceivers, your own fellow CIA man. So the Philippines are up for grabs and up for forfeit. And they're a little terrified that they may overdo it and blow the Philippines away. And where will all that gold go? Because I can promise you it will be like old Atlantis. They blow it up. And it's going to be an 8-mile deep crater, and they're not going to be able to find that gold. Just like Atlantis. Just move a little way off Crete and you're going to find an 8-mile deep hole. Politically, John can explain that better to you than me. I'm interested in the spiritual aspect of that area and the spiritual security of the Philippine people. Because you come as Philippines down through the ancients, through the aboriginal tribes of the bird people. And yes, you're special. And yes, they want to get rid of you. And politically, they will stop at nothing. But you see, if they overdo it, they don't gain either. That's why if you are careful and you do it properly, you can have the both the best. John, would you go into an explanation a little bit more about
it? I can give you a little bit more about it, namely that the whole thing in the Philippines was organized again by the Committee of 300. They used an insurance broker by the name of Hank Greenberg. Now that's not a name that you're going to be familiar with. If you are, then you're extremely well informed. But few people ever heard of his name. But Hank Greenberg was the organizer of the so-called People's Revolution against Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. And what Hank Greenberg was after was the Philippine gold, which Hatton has just told us about. In exchange for his services, David Rockefeller told Hank Greenberg, look, I've got the insurance business in China tied up. You get rid of the Marcoses and you can have half the insurance business in China. But here's the interesting part. This is most important. Greenberg worked for the Tel Aviv, Frankfurt, Brooklyn Mafia. In the United States, the leader of the Mafia, Brooklyn Mafia, is Representative Stephen Solos.
And where anybody did we find, want to choke?
Where did we find Solos? In the very midst of the so-called People's Revolution against Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. So you have Hank Greenberg working for Rockefeller. You have Stephen Solos working for the Brooklyn Frankfurt, Tel Aviv Mafia, which is an old Meyer Lansky network. If you know anything about the old days of the gangsters, Meyer Lansky was an extremely talented financier. They got hold of this information that the gold is there, and they moved heaven and earth and hell to get their hands on it. But up to that point, they weren't able to break the Marcoses, and eventually they did overthrow them. But the whole story behind the overthrow of the Marcoses hinges on the gold and who was after it. And I've now told you who the people with the dramatis persona were, the people in the play. And that hasn't changed. The same people are still there today trying to work the oracle to find out where this gold is.
Well, they tried to, and I would like you to comment on this, because I'm sure that you will know about it. It was at this period of time, and just before this, that in efforts to get their hands on it, this is when Japan became a major trilateral player in the game. So you've got real, real intrigue and a lot of gold. I'm talking thousands of tons of it.
Yes, it's worth a, well, we can't even begin to imagine the value of it. It's a just unbelievably huge amount of gold.
A lot of laundering, drug laundering. You see, they can tell you whatever they want about we've got to do this and that in order to stop the counterfeiters. They have had counterfeiting plates ever since Hitler took them to the Antarctic, and Japan can just roll off zillions of dollars. That's not the point. The drug dealers stopped accepting currency. They wanted to be paid in gold.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that sits in the Philippines.
That's why I said earlier, if you want to know the price of gold, you must find out the price of raw opium, pure raw opium.
Listen, those are still controlled, the custody of this gold?
Some of it, yes.
Where's the bulk of it?
The bulk of it?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Are they still in the Philippines? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Is he in control of it still?
The Marcus family controlled only a portion of it.
This is truly so tedious. This is not really proper to discuss it in here.
I could tell you a lot more, but I don't think
it's not wise for anyone to discuss this much farther.
Can I have one more question? About the elementals in the Philippines. Do they have a role in the discovery of oil and other resources like gold, gold, diamonds, plutonium in the Philippines for them to be explored or exploited or utilized?
There's still plenty there, but what is happening is you find that the Chinese